All right. Hey, Robert, could we bring the lights up in the sanctuary since everybody are going to be looking at their papers that they're holding there? That would be a big help. And does everybody have a handout? Does everybody have a paper today? You should have gotten one when you came in. Who does not have one? Who does not have one of these papers? Anyone? Okay. If you don't, just raise your hand and Gary will walk by. Everybody should have one, because if you don't have one, you won't be able to function. Yeah, you guys have one? Okay, Gary over here. Gabriel needs one. All right. Elijah, do you have one? Okay, good. And do you guys all have one? All right, good. Good. So good to be back from Virginia. I was at Liberty University this past week and got to have my first class in the Liberty Tower of Divinity. It's a tower that's 15 stories tall, and each floor is one classroom. It's the biggest tower in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I was up on the ninth floor all week long. The first day it was 60 degrees in the classroom. So I was hunting around for the thermostat and found it. And the next day it was a nice balmy 72. I turned it up. But at night, I think what happens is the workers come in and they're sweating bullets. And so they turn it down and they're mopping and everything and cleaning windows. And then they want it ice cold, but all of us are sitting there like there's icicles hanging from our noses, you know. But had a great, great week. Did a study on the theology of the Psalms, the book of Psalms. It was just wonderful. In fact, I shared a little bit of what I talked about in my class this morning, and it was just wonderful. Hey, so looking forward to next Sunday, the 30th anniversary, and our founding pastor, he's going to be making, Lord willing, without any technical glitches, he's going to be making a nice little mini sermon for us, Lord willing. And I said, Brother Cook, how long's Ben going to talk for? He said, well, like 2 to 5 minutes. I said, oh, no, call him back. Tell him to talk at least 10 or 15 minutes. That way I can shorten my message at the end and they don't have to listen to me bore them silly. Let Ben know, because Ben is terrific. I love Ben. And if he wasn't pastoring and teaching at his own church, I would have just had him do a whole sermon for us. But you know what? I thought if he does 15 minutes or so, then at the very end, I could just give a closing time of refreshment from God's word, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be a whole long sermon. And this is so exciting. We've got, and by the way, I asked Teresa, hey, Teresa, would it be okay if I chose all the music? Because, you know, I go back a long time, right? I was there on the first Sunday on August 6, 1989, Kelly and I. We looked like we were in third grade. And Nicole was 3 years old. And I have a picture of the day we were standing there on the very first day we had our opening Sunday, the very first Sunday. And so many memories. And so I asked Teresa, hey, Teresa, can I do the music? I'd like to pick out the song. So we're actually, since we're only having one service, we're actually going to do three sets of music. And, by the way, Daniel and Donna, here, let's give God a hand. Thank you, Lord. Daniel and Donna Howard are going to be with us, who led praise and worship. I believe that Mark O'Brien and Craig Rollins are going to come, and they're going to play in the band for us. And some folks are going to get a beautiful Sunday off from their daily, weekly, all the time, never quit service to God and the music team, and so they're going to fill in. But nonetheless, what the music sets will be is the first music set. We're going all the way back to 1990, and we're going to do the songs we did from 1990 to around 2000. And then the next set, and by the way, Daniel and Donna are going to be doing some special, at least one special for us. And Teresa, find out for me, because I have to do the order of service like where everything's going to fit. Then, believe it or not, now many of you will remember Laura Landers. Laura. It was Laura the older one, right? Yeah, Laura and Lisa. Okay. But Laura Landers, she was a student of mine many moons ago. This is like 1983, right? She was in my Bible classes back at the very beginning when Kelly and I first moved down here. And you remember Geraldine Landers, their mom. She's in heaven now. Well, she Facebook messaged me and she said, Pastor Bob, is there any way that you would baptize my, I think it's her grandson, though it could be her son, I don't know. But anyway, she didn't tell me if it was her son or grandson. But I said, Absolutely, we would love to do that. So their entire family, grandparents and everything, are coming from Tyler. They're all coming. I believe Brother Gerald's coming, Kevin and Loretta and everybody from Ty. A lot of people coming from East Texas. Jeff Landers and Becca Landers are going to be here, and they've got a whole van load of children, their own and adopted. I mean, I don't know. It always fluctuates, you know. They're always taking new kids in and booting other kids out. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, there's got to be at least seven. There might be nine children there. So it'll like double our children's attendance in 1 week, just the one family. But so many folks that are going to be coming that we've known from a long time back. So the second set will be the music from the year 2000 to 2010, our four or five favorite songs. And then the final set of music is going to be our favorite songs from 2010 to the present. And let me tell you, it was so hard because Teresa and I sat down for a few hours weeks ago and looked at all the songs we could do. And listen, there are so many. Oh, like I thought about, you remember the song that the songs that we did that were like, we are standing on holy. We started with that song, "This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground." Oh, we all love that. And then the next song, you go into "We are standing on holy ground," those two songs. There's just so many that there's just no room to do all the ones, but just some great ones. We're going to do, like, for instance, we're going to do the old favorite, let's see, what was the one I was thinking of? It was the one, it'll come to me 3/4 of the way through the sermon, okay? It's in there, but too many things to think about this morning, but I'm just totally looking forward to this, and so, anyway, okay, so what do we have going today? So, by the way, just make sure everybody that you know to tell knows about it. And by the way, if you get more people coming, be sure to let Terry know. Just call the church at night. The answering machine will come on. Terry, there's going to be 5 more people coming. Because, okay, we don't want everybody getting like half a leg of chicken. Okay? Okay, all right, sorry, too many people came. You're getting half of a chicken leg, okay? You get the bone and you get the meat. Okay, there you go. Half and half. Okay. So, all right. So, Robert, I don't think for some reason I can't connect to what's on the screen. So, but it's an easy one. So you just do it back there. It's not hard. This is so easy. The PowerPoint. This is a funny story. Not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, Terry called me. She said, "Pastor Bob, do you have your sermon title for the bulletin?" And normally I get that to her a lot earlier in the week, and I said, "Oh no, we're having missionaries on July 21st. And she said, "No, the calendar has them for the 28th. I said, "You're kidding," because it's already like Thursday or Friday, you know, and I've got this class coming up, so I'm cramming and jamming, right? And so she said, "Yeah," she said, "they're coming this, they're not coming till the 28th, you're preaching this Sunday." I was like, "Oh, okay. All right. Well, here, put this title in there, and I'll worry about it later. Put this title in the bulletin." And so she did that. And then on Sunday, I'm all ready to go with what I'm talking about today. And the missionaries are standing there in the hallway. I'm like, "Oh, okay. All right." So great. That way I don't have to prepare all the week of while I'm at you know, so I'll be ready to go next Sunday. So it was really interesting, but I'm glad for the way it worked out. And by the way, weren't they awesome last Sunday, Jim Myers, Bible Fellowship Church? Listen, I could have them come. In fact, I think I'll do that. We'll just have them come every Sunday. All right. So anyway, but I love the Myers. Okay, so what do we have here today? You got this little booklet. I have the same one you have. And it's called The Definition of Spiritual Gifts. We've been waiting for weeks and weeks for this because all I've been talking about is apostleship and prophecy and speaking in tongues. But like, hey, Pastor Bob, there's like other spiritual gifts, and mine's probably one of them. Since there's no more apostles, there's no more prophets, and there's no more tongues, how about talking about the ones that we are supposed to have? Well, we're going to do both today. If you'll notice, on the left-hand side over here, it says temporary gifts. Do you see that right underneath definition of spiritual gifts on the second page? It says temporary gifts. And then on the page The next page, it says permanent gifts. Okay, permanent gifts. And that's because, as you remember, like, there aren't apostles right now in the church. Okay? There are not people that have the gift of apostleship. There's not people that have the gift of prophecy. Those were like the fuel that God had in the early church to get the rocket of the church lifted off the launching pads. They needed a lot of miraculous things. They needed a lot of very showy things so that people who were just very, very dull, by the way, God's going to do that again. You all know this. Once the church is raptured, suddenly two men in Israel are going to begin preaching, and guess what? They're going to have the ability to do miracles. By no means do we teach here that God isn't doing miracles today, but it's God who's doing them. Humans aren't doing miracles. God's doing the miracles. People get healed, it's because humans prayed and God does the healing. By the way, everybody, I want you to think about this when it comes to healing. If God didn't heal us when we get sick, whether it's the flu or it's cancer, if God didn't heal us, we would die. If we got a cut and it didn't heal and it kept getting more and more infected and it wouldn't go away and what doctors did and couldn't cure it, we would die unless God... So always, whenever we're sick, God's always doing healings constantly. And he's answering people's prayer. Your prayers, my prayers, the answers to our prayer. He's healing people continually in answers to our prayer. But there aren't any more people on earth where people, like in the Bible, where they laid people on the sidewalk. They had hundreds of people laying on a sidewalk, probably. And Peter would just walk down next to him and his shadow would hit him and they would be healed. That's a human being doing healings. That's why it's a temporary gift. So let's go through these and we'll talk more about these kind of issues. It's very important. And now you say, Pastor Bob, why do you have over here temporary gifts? Well, the Bible says things like, whether there be tongues, they will cease. Tongues are going to cease. It says right in the Bible. It says in the Bible that the apostles and prophets were the foundation. Folks, a foundation doesn't keep getting built. You build a foundation, and then you put the bricks on top of it. We are all spiritual bricks. We are, the Bible says, we're living stones. We're stones that are alive. It's a metaphor. Obviously, we're not really stones, but we're stones in the sense we're part of God's building called the church, the body of Christ. Every time a person gets saved, God puts you into his body, puts that person in his body. And it's going to keep growing and growing. It's been growing on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus for 2,000 years. And then one day the last brick will be laid. The rapture will take place. And Jesus will bring his bride home to be with him. We'll have our wedding. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to see the bridegroom. And we'll be united. Right now, the intimacy that we have for Jesus, with Jesus, will be nothing compared to the intimacy that we'll have with him when we see him face to face. The Bible says that we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We're going to have a perfect body. It will not have the sin nature in it, and we'll be able to draw close to Jesus unlike ever before. It'll be so wonderful. It'll be like the wedding night of an earthly bride and groom in their first time together. It'll be that to the 1,000th degree, seeing Jesus and having that wonderful, wonderful face-to-face intimacy with him. And so, you know what? It's important for us to remember we're the bride of Christ now, and we should have closeness and intimacy with him and love him and draw close to him. Okay, so let's go through these, okay? It's 11:22, and this shouldn't take very long because everything's right in front of you except for which gifts we're talking about. So these temporary gifts, the first reason I said is because they are in Scripture, we're told tongues will cease, and apostles and prophets are the foundation. It's implied that it's not going to continue. And then you'll notice as we go through these, if these gifts were still being given, then we should have human beings doing healings. We should have human beings working miracles. But we just don't see that, you know, like raising people from the dead. People that have stage 4 cancer. A person just touches. You remember they would touch Jesus' garment and then they would be healed. The woman was sick for 16 years. She had a flow of blood. 16 years. Okay? I'm not saying God doesn't work miracles. I'm just saying human beings, there's like not, because like I told you before in an earlier sermon, if they were doing that, you'd have thousands of people from all over the globe bringing their sick family members to that person to be healed. But guess what? They're just not. You know, you can go on the internet and watch a 1 hour long special where they put a microphone on a woman who had a daughter that had like cerebral palsy or something like that. She was just horribly disfigured. It was very, very bad. And she came up to Benny Hinn's men, and she was carrying her daughter, and she said, "I'd like my daughter to be set free from this." And so she's wearing a microphone. And the men are like, "Okay, ma'am, right over there, you see all those people over there sitting in wheelchairs? You need to go and sit down right over there. You need to go, oh, but can I not just take her directly? Can't I be one of the first? I really want my daughter to be healed." And you know, you could just Google that on YouTube and you can watch it. But it's an hour long. But what was going on? These guys, they're like his bodyguards. They've got these things in their ear and their microphones. And they're putting all these people with horrible ailments and diseases over here in this area. And basically, kind of just putting them there and saying, "You're not going anywhere near that stage." Because they want people to go up there to Benny Hinn and say, "Oh, I have this backache I've had." And he falls over, you know, all that stuff. "I have this backache." You don't ever see a person go up there and their arm's all curled up or they don't even have an arm. And Benny Hinn goes, "In the name of Jesus, you are made whole." Poof! And then all of a sudden his arm, you have never seen it and you never will. Why? Because Benny Hinn does not have the gift of healings. The bottom line. Okay? It's just not. They always have people up there, "Oh, I've got this ache, this pain. My hip hurts. My back hurts. I've had it for 20 years. I have horrible pain." And then in all the exuberance and all of the, they get the juices flowing and these people think they're healed. They're falling. They got a bad back and they're falling backwards, right? And they have them where they've got those videos where you got like 100 people falling all over on each other. I mean, boy, doesn't that feel good? The guy in front of you up there, he's been chowing down on Big Macs for the last 25 years. He sits there and he falls on you. You came in with a bad back and left with a bad back and two broken legs. You know, I mean, it's bad news. But anyway, you get the idea, and let me just say this. Hey, listen, I don't know whether Benny Hinn is saved or not. He may very well be a true believer in Jesus, but you know what? He just unfortunately has been taught badly, and he's got it in his mind that he has these powers, and also he's been taught badly because he takes poor widows the last 10 bucks they have, and he stays, when he goes to Russia, he flies down to the French Riviera, and he stays in hotel rooms that cost $13,000 a night. Did you hear me? Yeah, and not only him, but his entire entourage. He's got private jets. And he's putting these people up in lavish, I mean, they might spend like $250,000 in one night after he just fleeced about 3,000 widows out in the crowd for their last $10. It's really sad. But, you know, again, it's the prosperity gospel. Those people out there are taught that if you're really in tune with God, then you're a billionaire and you can do all these things, have private jets and, you know, And there's just a lot of issues. But again, you know, he'll have to stand before God just like I will, okay, and all of us will, and give an account. And in fact, you know what's interesting? I believe Benny Hinn has a grandson or a nephew who's, I'm sorry?
A nephew.
A nephew, yeah. What's his name? Oh, yeah, but not only that, Catherine, one of them, he's got a relative, either a grandson, nephew, who's like an evangelist now, and he is totally like, I'm totally against this kind of Christianity, and he's preaching one that's more like conventional, traditional Christianity. It's really a great thing. Okay, so enough said there. Let's go through these. Number one, we'll do these first few very quickly because you already know this. Apostleship. A gift given to just a few people in the body of Christ during the formative years of the church, right after Jesus' resurrection, to facilitate the early church's growth and stability. This gift is no longer in operation today based on the foundation image given in Ephesians 2:20. Okay, that's apostleship. Probably as far as we can count, there were 14 or 15 apostles, and that was it. Okay? Now again, if this gift was being given, obviously it would be evident. And there would be apostles in every church. People would just come up and they'd say, hey, you know, I've got this gift. And I, you know, and okay, and the same thing with number two. Number two is prophecy. Prophecy is a divine ability to speak forth divinely inspired messages that are absolutely true, trustworthy, and without error. No error, zero zip nada. I've got cassette tapes in my office of preachers where they say right on the tape, I am saying this to you in the name of Jesus who died and rose again. And then they give a supposed prophecy and it's totally false. Okay, all right. So it's a divine ability to speak divine messages without error for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. This gift was needed in the days before the New Testament was completed. Like the apostolic gift, the gift of prophecy is no longer in operation today based on the foundation image, the apostles and prophets in 2:20. Okay, Ephesians 2:20. Third, healing. Healing. In fact, you know what? Correct that. I should have put healings because there's an S in the gift list. Make it healings because I even put it in your notes here. A divine ability to restore sick people to complete health. The use of the plural noun, with the S on the end, the plural noun in 1 Corinthians 12:9, gifts of healing. Gifts of healings. So you got both two plurals. Gifts of healings. That implies that those who possessed this gift were sovereignly given a particular number of healings. For instance, Paul had the gift of healings. But when you read the New Testament, you get to a place in time, times passing, and Paul in one of the pastoral epistles says this, I left Trophimus in Miletus sick. I left him there sick. Wow. One of his right-hand men got sick, and he leaves them there sick. Why? Because probably Paul ran out of healings. He had X number of healings, and God gave them to him for a specific time and for specific purposes, and then they were gone. And that gift, they no longer had any healings left to give, because Paul could have healed Trophimus, but he didn't. Okay, he left him sick, and so on and so forth. So you get that idea. So, again, by the way, these are temporary gifts. By no means are we saying that people don't get healed or that they don't get healed miraculously. I've got a book that's that thick. I think it's 1,200 pages. I think it's two books, actually, by one author. And he spent years and years and years and years. He's a super smart professor. And I had to read this book for a class, but he documented all of the miracles and healings that he could possibly find. He went all over the earth, and he's literally got MRIs, and I told you about this, where on one day a person's got like stage 4 cancer and their body's full of cancer, and they took MRIs the day they were supposed to have surgery, and it's all gone. Okay? That would be an example of a supernatural, miraculous healing. Okay? That's supernatural means that God had to intervene and reverse on a physical, material level what happened in that person's body. He had to do something that was non-human. It was impossible. Nothing a human could do. A body riddled in every organ all over the place, spread all over the brain, liver, and all that. A human can't do anything to reverse that. But this professor's got MRI and x-ray after x-ray after x-ray of these very things happening that were just total supernatural miracles, and he has them in the book. So, all right. Four is miracles. A divine ability to perform supernatural feats. Is God still working miracles? All of God's people said? Yes. Are human beings working miracles? All of God's people said? No. No. Because again, if there was, listen, let's just say five people in America, five Christians were given by the Holy Spirit the gift of, let's see, number four, Robert, did that thing cave in back there? Oh, my slide is wrong. Okay, yep, that's what you get for doing it late. Okay, so number four is miracles. So what I was saying is, let's just say five people in America had that gift and nobody else. Five people in the world, and they're all in America. I'll guarantee you, if there was a human being now with technology the way it is, see, in Jesus' day, he could work miracles, and as far as it could get was to that city, pretty much, and maybe the city next to it. But now, if I got this gift and I started healing people that had stage 4 cancer, that, okay, you see it on TV, these people that are born and they have no arms and legs, right? You've seen it. It's so sad, and yet they function and they do great things. Some of them are even preachers. They have no arms and legs. They were born at birth that way. If I had the power to just say, in the name of Jesus, rise, take up your booklet and walk, okay? And they did that. Suddenly, legs came out, arms grew out, and they started jumping and praising like the guy in the Bible. He's leaping and praising God. Okay, with the internet, with Facebook, like if somebody in the church was filming that on Facebook and that went out, let me tell you something. There would be 8,000 people here in the next day, because there's a lot of rich people all over the earth, and they would fly in their private jets and bring their family members to me or the other four people who had this. But folks, nobody has this gift. Nobody has it. If they did, it would be so evident. Even if it was just five people in America that had, everybody would know about it the very moment they did anything. Okay? So that's not a biblical... That's not a biblical argument. That's a pragmatic argument. It's from experience. Our experience is we aren't seeing this in the earth. That there's just human beings that walk around and go, whoosh, whoosh, dinka, dinka, dinka. You remember her Bewitched? Dinka, dinka, dinka. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's noses are wiggling and people are getting, okay. All right. So that's number five. Four. Number five, of course, we talked about this, so we don't have to spend much time. Tongues. Or just put down languages. It's the gift of languages. All right, yes, thank you, Lord. There we go. Okay, so it's a divine ability to speak in literal foreign languages and dialects. One of the main purposes of the gift of tongues was as assigned to the unbelieving Jews. Okay, and again, you have a whole section of Christianity that say that they have the gift, but they don't usually speak in dialects or in literal languages, real languages. They have like an utterance in a esoteric, an esoteric language. It doesn't mean anything. But you know what, again, remember that I told you this, everybody? There's a lot of people like that that love God with all their hearts just as much as you and I do, and maybe more. So we don't want to have an arrogant spirit, haughty spirit, and say, don't you know that that gift doesn't even exist? Don't you know that you're just wrong? Hey, leave people alone. Let them worship God the way they grew up learning and all that, and be kind, tender-hearted. Okay, don't hurt your brothers and sisters. We're in the same body. So you got to cut them slack, okay? And we shouldn't have any arrogance, no haughtiness. And if they talk and they talk about how wonderful it was to worship God with a foreign language or even with an esoteric language, an otherworldly language that nobody knows what it means. Listen, if they're trying to connect with God, have mercy on them and don't look down on them. Okay, so we get the idea. Okay, number six, back in those days, the final temporary gift was the ability to interpret these languages. If you had somebody that was speaking these, if they're in your church and they're going, cuando limpian mi casa no encuentro nada. Mama, tía Luisa. Como gritas, hijo. No estamos sordas. If they're, and you're all sitting there. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Very nice. Okay. A lot of you don't speak Spanish, and so you're, okay, but if in those churches there was a person with the gift of interpretation, they could say, hey, everybody, here's what so-and-so just said. When our Chin church was here, and there was 300, 400 people that spoke Burmese, okay, I would preach, and thank God the pastor's daughter interpreted, because you know what? She really knew English really well. She was getting a master's degree. She knew English real well. So I would sit there and say, but the funny thing was this, I'd say something like, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can get to the Father but by Him. Sometimes it would take her like 2 minutes. Like, wow. I said, boy, is she preaching something different than I'm preaching? And I'm like, well, that took a long time for her to get. It only was like a sentence and a half for me, but it was like 20 seconds for me and 3 minutes for her to tell, okay. So anyway. But, and then what's so funny too, is sometimes, I don't know if it's like, I forgot, they told me what it was, but I forgot. But sometimes they would go, woo! And they would do that woo thing every once in a while. And I thought maybe it's like an exclamation point or something at the end of, but I was like, I always wondered, well, what are they doing there? And, you know, I was thinking, oh no, goodness, this lady's doing a stand-up comedy. She's not even telling my sermon. She's doing stand-up comedy while I'm preaching, okay? So, no, I'm just kidding. And you know what? My PowerPoints, I had a guy in the church, I would send him my PowerPoints and he'd put them in the language of Chin on the screen. It was really cool. So, yeah, all of the people in our church, after they had scribbled on the wall for the 4,000th time, they let their kids grow wild, like their culture was really kind of freelance, you know, kind of, that's a nice way to put it, you know. The kids ruled the home rather than the river. So the kids are marking on the walls, dumping sugary drinks on the pews, and so everybody in the church, our church, is like, hey, come on, preach to them about child rearing, you know. So I'm preaching to them like for two or three Sundays on child rearing. They're like deer staring at headlights out there. They're like, they didn't get it. Okay, so all right, now. These gifts on the right side over here, these are the ones that you and I have. You and I all have one of these 10 gifts. Now you say, Pastor Bob, I don't know what my gift is. Okay? Maya, are you going to tell us Gabriel's gifting this morning? Is that what you want? I thought she was like, I'm going to announce Gabriel's gift today. Okay. All right. So, every one of you that's here today and you know that you're saved, you know that you've put your faith in Jesus, you know that you'll be in heaven forever and ever. You have one of these, even if you don't know it. And by the way, if you need those tests, just come and see me. I've handed out tests and tests and tests, and I've got one or two more to hand out to you. But after doing those, I hope, in fact, I might come up to you and say, what's your gift? And ask you personally, because you know what, I hope I don't do a whole summer on spiritual gifts, and then in the fall you still don't know what your gift is. You should learn what it is. And so I want to encourage you. Okay, number one, I love this gift. Jeff, you might have this gift, I don't know. A divine ability, it's discernment. It's a divine ability to distinguish between doctrinal truth and doctrinal error. By doctrinal, we mean teaching, what we believe. Do you believe the truth or do you believe an error? Well, these people, God's given them an uncanny ability to listen to somebody and say, that's not in the Bible. That is. Now, listen, by the way, we should do all of these. You ought to be discerning. You ought to be helpful. You ought to be teaching others. But you know what? One of these is your specialty, okay? Number two, faith. A divine ability to trust God's will, to trust God's word, and act on it with an unwavering belief in his ability. You know what? There's just some people, you know, while everybody else is sitting around going, oh my goodness, it's never going to happen. This is never going to work. You know, think about the Old Testament and building the wall. We're never going to get this wall built. This place is a dump. This place is a garbage heap. The city's destroyed. And you know what? Most of us are good at that, aren't we? Of complaining and wondering and griping. Okay, but guess what? Some Christians are standing back there and saying, God is able. I don't care what the rest of you say. God can do this. And by the way, you know what? We all ought to have that spirit. We're going into our 30th anniversary. We ought to start next Sunday on our 30th birthday and say, you know what? Our greatest days are ahead by God's grace. God can see us through, okay? So you get the idea. Even though some people are really gifted to do this, we all ought to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. Number three, wisdom. Okay, this is the counselors in the local churches. These are the people that can just sit down with other people and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm hearing you. You know what? I feel your pain. I understand what you're going through. Okay, so wisdom, let's read the definition, is a divine ability to wisely apply the teachings and principles of God's word to specific problems people may face, akin to counseling. Okay? Now, we all ought to be counselors. We all ought to be encouraging others. But guess what? Some of us just have an uncanny ability, and you like to do this, and you want to do it all the time. You see people, and they're suffering around you, and you just think of something in the Bible. Oh, if that person only knew this. For instance, maybe they just can't ever make ends meet financially. And that person with the gift of wisdom might say, man, the Bible is so clear about our finances and how we're supposed to do them. If they only knew what I know. Okay, you understand. Okay. Number four, helps. Many Christians have this because it's so needful. There's a lot of people with helps because, man, do you ever need helpers and volunteers and assistants? They don't want to teach, but man, they'll be right there in the room doing everything and anything and everything you need, or however that works out, or at home or at work. A divine ability to support others in the body of Christ through volunteering for various tasks that arise. They just love to do that. They're there, they're ready to work, they're ready to help. Number five, encouraging. Now, next week we're going to see Brother Ben Jordan speaking, Lord willing. Lord willing, that'll all work, and it'll get here from Tennessee, from where he's at and his church is at, and we'll have that 10 or 15 minute message. Now, Ben was the quintessential encourager. Man, let me tell you this. His messages, if you ever came in down in the dumps, woo, you'd start speaking in chin. Woo! you'd let that woo out, and you'd go, you'd be leaving, and man, you didn't even need to turn the car on. You'd just start steering it. It would leave the parking lot of the church. He was awesome. And you know what? By the way, we needed that so desperately in those times. Man, did the church need an encouraging pastor. And again, you know what? Ben taught the Word of God, but you know what? He didn't really, I teach. Okay, I'm a teacher. Okay, that's my gift. I'm the last one on the list down there. But anyway, but Ben preached and he encouraged, and we're just, like, we were really great together. Because, like, I balanced him out and he balanced me out. And, man, he would just give messages. He'd tell story after story after story. And he was so encouraging. And there are just Christians all over churches that are just this way. You want to be around them because they never complain and they just want to encourage you to the nth degree. Okay? A divine ability to reassure, strengthen, affirm those who are discouraged or wavering or those in need of new spiritual growth. They'll push you ahead spiritually. Number six, knowledge. A divine ability to edify the body of Christ through sharing information in specific areas of expertise. Okay? I'm going to say a name, and I want you to tell me the first word that comes to you. Just say it out loud. The first word, and I'm thinking of maybe one word. I'm going to say a name. James Dobson. Family, right? Focus on the family. Gift of knowledge. Dave Ramsey. Finances. Do you see where we're going here? They just pour their life, James Dobson, into helping people have good marriages and good families. Dave Ramsey pours his life all these years. Does he start trying to teach on spiritual gifts? No. He's called to teach people about money. And so goes from place to place to place, and he keeps putting book after book out because people aren't listening to God. They're not understanding God's principles. So he gives God's people, he's equipping them with knowledge. Okay? And some people just, they're just that way. They're not going to be a pastor. James Dobson, he's not going to pastor. He's a MD, he's a pediatrician. Why? Because that's not his gifting. Okay, pastors, you know, you got to wear a lot of hats, all right? And so, but they have a specific drive, and you know, there's people in the churches, and thank God for them. Like some of them might be like the gift, like they might love prophecy. I love prophecy. But that's all they want to talk about ever. They don't want to teach on anything else but prophecy. Or they might want to just teach on like the Old Testament, and they become experts. But you get the idea. Okay, you may have that gift. Okay, number seven. This is another one that many Christians have this gift, is serving. God's divine ability to minister to others in practical and tangible ways. The divine ability God gives to serve others in practical and tangible ways. Number eight, it's a long word. It's administrations. It's in the Bible, administrations. Who's the administrator in your surgical practice? Is it Marlene? Is it Kelly? Who's the head honcho here in this office? Or this is the person in a church. Divine ability to understand what makes an organization function and the special ability to plan and execute procedures that increase the church's organizational effectiveness. They just, you know what? They look at things and they say, that is so disorganized. We need those people in churches. By the way, you know what? I'm semi-organized. You know, I've been living with someone who has the gift of organizations, administrations. Or, you know, you could really put organization as like another word for administration. And so she's really rubbed off on me. Man, I've gotten so much better at that. But you know what? Not like her, okay? You know, you go to my office and, you know, you usually just at home, you got to kind of keep the doors closed on it because books are piling up everywhere, you know. And Bob, do you have any idea when you might be interested in rearranging those sometime? I've got it planned for 2023. Okay? So that's what, no. But there's nothing like a good organizer to come in and, you know, a VBS, a special Sunday or whatever that can, man, get it. By the way, pray that God will send many more organizers to Ridge Point to offset Brother Bob here. Okay, finally, and this again, this is I already told you what this one was, teaching a divine ability to edify the body of Christ through the teaching of God's word. And, you know, whether it's at a home, whether it's at church, whether it's in a Bible fellowship, whether it's in a church, whether it's in an office, your office, you love to just teach God's word and to help people understand it. So let me just tell you this. Every one of you, oh, you say, hey, Pastor Bob, you know what? It seems like you're missing gifts on this list. There looks like some gifts are missing here. I actually, since the last time I taught this, I actually changed my view on some of the ones in Romans chapter 12 because I found out from a Greek expert that what's written in our English Bibles is not really, doesn't really bring out what the Greek says. And it's so there's two or three at the end of this one list there that seem like they should be on this list. But anybody that knows Greek says, no, they probably are just for all the church. Like one of them, for instance, one of them is generosity. The, And last time I taught this years ago, I have the gift of generosity. But guess what? That's something all Christians are to be generous. Same thing. Same thing. It's at the bottom of that list in Romans 12, by the way. What's that? Mercy. The gift of mercy. And you know what? That is not repeated in the other gift lists. Like in Corinthians, it's not there. And neither is mercy. What was the last one I just said? Yeah, generosity. What's that? Well, that's the same thing. The gift of giving, the gift of generosity. Those are ones, this expert in Greek said those are things from the Greek. If you were a Greek reader, you would instantly see the change there in what Paul's saying. The English translators missed it because they just think Paul's making a long list. But Paul gives a list, and then there's words in Greek that are obvious that we can't like duplicate in English, and it just shows that there's like a change there. And he says, now all of you need to be doing these. Okay? Yes. Well, yeah, and you know what, Marilyn, like I said, the bottom line is, and listen, everybody, all of these gifts, we are to do all of them for God's glory. We are to become good at doing all of these, but guess what? The Spirit has given you a special gift that your ministry is going to revolve around. Your life's going to revolve around it. Like, for instance, I would become the most prolific writer that ever walked the face of the earth if I couldn't talk anymore. If I lost my voice permanently and I couldn't talk and teach, then you know what would happen? I would suddenly become a very studious author and start writing a lot because I have to teach. It's in me and it's got to come out. I just love to teach. And so, hey, does anybody have any other questions that you could think about? So, yeah, Marilyn, some of those I took off of the... Yes. Okay, well then, okay, she's got a good question. She said, Bob, before you handed out a gift test where a person... ranked real high when you still included mercy in there, when you still included generosity as one of the gifts. And I would say to that is that then what I would do is just look at the other gifts that came underneath it. Because really, think about it. Be ye merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. All of us are commanded to be merciful. The Bible says God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Wow. Wow, that's a heavy commandment for us to follow. To be kind to the unthankful and the evil. See, you need a lot of mercy to do that. So now I would just say, and again, you know what, Marilyn, there's always a possibility I could be dead wrong about that, but I don't think I am. I think the argument that this person that is an expert in Greek made is a sound argument. And since one of his arguments was, by the way, these gifts are not in any of the other gift lists, it probably leans toward the direction that they weren't to be viewed as gifts, but as Christian Christian practices. And so yeah, I would just say, hey, listen, if you on your tests were coming out as a person of mercy, because listen, some people are just that way. They might be a teacher, but they just might be really people that are very merciful, or they might be a servant that's very merciful. So yeah, there could be overlap. Some people may take those tests I hand out and they say, hey, Pastor Bob, I've got a problem. Oh yeah, what's that? I took the test and I got discernment, wisdom, helps, encouraging, and serving. I got 5 for all of them. I didn't have a 9, an 8, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I got 5 of them that I had. They were all even. Now what do I do? Well, you pray and you seek counsel. You give somebody else the test so you're not blindsided by your own self, your own self-evaluation. You give it to somebody else and you say, hey, would you take this test for me and tell me what you think my gifting is? You know, that's why we gave out that observation test. Any other questions? That's a good question. Yes. Well, that's, Jeff, that's because that's one that God wants all of God's people to be experts in, all right? Because if you don't do that, you physically decay because you don't eat enough, and you spiritually decay because you don't fellowship enough. Okay, answer solved. Okay, problem solved. All right. How many of you would like to put into practice at this time the gift of food and fellowship? Raise your hand. My hand is up, and so I will pray. All right, let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word, and thank you for this time in your word. And we just praise you for all these wonderful principles from your word. And Lord, I love your people. I love Ridge Point Fellowship, this church. What an amazing family it is. Thank you for what you give to us, what you do through us. Lord, thank you that unless you tarry your coming, Lord, or unless you return this coming week, Lord, we'll be back for our 30th anniversary. And Lord, how we just thank you for sustaining us and using us all these years, Lord, to bring people to you, to teach children and adults your word, and to get people ready for the future, Lord, and seeing you and standing before you. Lord, help us to stay close to you this week. Help us to draw near to you. And Lord, protect your people. Protect them from serious trouble. Protect them from the evil one. And we pray it in your precious name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. All right, thank you, everyone.